Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
The Garland Woods, a beautiful and still monument to what Mother Nature can accomplish if left unchecked. It's one of those places where just merely being there has the potential to inspire greatness in you. During the day, as the god rays comb through the densely packed trees, you'll find a magnitude of artists and great thinkers alike soaking up the inspiration. Inspiration is why I made my journey into the Garland Woods, but what I wanted to find there was an idea for a truly great horror story. As the sun fades past the horizon and the vibrant greens turn muddy, you'll notice the crowd dispersing. Plastered around the woods are signs that warn visitors not to stay after the sun has left. I thought this was silly. It was the same cliche rule that was applied to every graveyard and abandoned home. The woods were beautiful, and so in that sense it felt like a magical place, but I never believed magic to be real. All the signs posted around didn't state that there would be any legal ramifications for staying after dark, so I gathered what I needed and waited. Instead of soaking in the inspiration that the light of the day was offering, I people-watched. I watched as an artist sat on the large extensions of an ancient tree and sketched away. Poets stood like statues in the paths of light that switched around the trees, like their ideas were solar-powered. Garland was largely untouched by man-made machines. The only unnatural part of the park was the parking lot, but even that was just compacted dirt. Legends, as they were, posed that the forest was protected by magic that halted crews from working after the sun had gone down. Stories of workers being assaulted and equipment being tampered with ran rampant in nearby towns. As I watched people carrying on, watched the hikers, artists, and the occasional businessman, the sun started to retreat. The woods were dense and it took me a while to find anything I would consider a clearing. As I was running out of light, however, I found a small patch of dirt surrounded by a circle of rocks that would fit my supplies just fine. The light diminished, and I could hear a marathon of retreating footsteps. I thought someone would stop and bother me, but they all carried on, like the forest itself was ushering them out. After a few moments had passed, the world around me became muted, and the forest took on a life outside of human interaction, like it had been wearing a mask all day, and was free to finally slip it off. The trees were cast in the shadows, and the ground became a plush dark. Initially, the rumors were hard to pry from my thoughts. I wondered what manner of beast or psycho would infiltrate my campsite. In such a still and intimate environment, I think the woods were able to feel my worry and responded with a new light. From the dark plush, I watched a wave of small scattered dots of light breathe into existence. The army-sized collection of fireflies began lifting up from the grass and populating the air. A few even drifted closer to me, and the fire I had begun with whatever already broken branches I could find. I was sure to pour water around the fire just to make sure that it wouldn't spread. I might not have believed in magic, but I had no intention of burning it down either. The night was a cold one, but with the tent overhead and the pulses of heat from the fire, I was able to get pretty comfortable, and so I pulled out my notebook. The tight-lipped calls of the indigenous animals accompanied scratches of charcoal dragging across the paper. Every time I looked up to observe the dance of the fireflies, I would notice less of them had stuck around. I must have completely lost track of time. Whatever the other artists felt during the day, I was feeling it all the same in the dark. My mind raced with formations of monsters and inescapable situations. Creative deaths and meaningful escapes plagued every crevice of my mind as the pencil whittled closer to its eraser. My first touch of uncertainty came when I took a break to take a few bites of an energy bar I had brought with me. Looking out, where there was once a stadium's worth of fireflies, there was only a handful, and they were all in the distance. It looked like the bugs were trying to hide behind the trees, and as I twisted my head, it became clear. I thought it was just a product of the horde dispersing with the trees. A sort of unnerving optical illusion was created. Even as I got back to writing, I couldn't help but shift my gaze from the paper back to the woods. The lights were unchanging. They continued to hang in the same spot and were in a unified formation, almost creating a ring around me. Over time, the ideas that were in my head, the horrors I myself had imagined, started to feel like they were breathing down my neck. The subtle notion of my isolation from another human soul started to invade my thoughts. What were once ideas of eldritch gods became themes of loneliness and the unending darkness. I decided I had enough ideas written down when I noticed that I was fighting to keep my hand still as it moved across the paper. Uncertain anxiety had invaded my situation with the dying of my fire. I was ready to get to sleep and let the morning come. Closing the notebook, I stood up and prepared to douse the fire. But the lights, they were much closer. I was so focused on what was inside my head that for a few moments, I completely disregarded the woods. When the flock of fireflies lifted from the ground, every time I took my eyes off them and then returned to look at them, I assumed it was the same light. I couldn't have measured how much time had passed between glances, and I never heard anything like the rustling of animals, but still my assumption about the lights, I was wrong. If it wasn't for the diminishing flames that emitted a soft orange glow, I would have assumed the fireflies had just returned. But the figures the glow was cast onto were no bugs. All around me were stout and plump dark bodies. Their only defining feature was the bright yellow lantern-like eyes held in place by bulbous heads. My previous sense of anxiety was heightened as I watched small creatures walking closer to me. When they were close enough, I could see the parts of their bodies sported a protrusion of what looked like branches. Their bodies were so varied and lacking any form that it looked as though they had been formed of the forest floor and given life. I was completely surrounded by them, with no path to escape when their advance finally halted. Looking down, I noticed, what little light was left, that they had all stopped just outside the stone circle. Not a single one of the firefly children made an attempt to cross the stones. They all stood there and looked towards me. Then a low humming noise came from all sides. The children started to undulate in a noise like flies next to your ear was produced. The noise was obnoxious, but I figured that as long as I stayed in the circle, they wouldn't be able to get to me. I thought of the legends. The tales I had heard about how they had found a crew of lumberjacks, dismembered, and pinned to trees. How anyone who was reported to stay in the forest after dark went missing or was found dead the next morning. I thought of the stories I had crafted in my head that night of all the terrible ways a person could perish. I worried I would discover much worse ways to die firsthand. Then, there was a hiss. A sharp, a new noise that sounded like fat burning on the stove came from inside the circle. I looked down at the fire and saw a thin shadow reaching into the circle towards my fire, and stopping when it reached the brighter portion, where it produced the hiss. It retched from the fire, or maybe it was just the light. The fire, though, was fading. The firefly children couldn't pass through the rocks, so I was worried this shadow was something else entirely. My suspicions were confirmed with the death of the fire. I faintly watched several shadows slip past the rocks. My only defense had been completely penetrated, and I was without an option of retaliation. The shadows ignored the fire and headed directly towards me. One of the shadows brushed against a rogue twig and pushed it aside. The tendrils reaching into my circle were moving physical objects, which meant they were able to touch me. I pictured them grabbing my ankles and dragging me into the dirt. Then, the spikes of darkness halted once more, and I heard the same hissing noise as before. The tendrils were bathed in bright yellow light. Not wanting to take my eyes off the tendril, but needing to see the source, I shifted my gaze. To the right of one of the firefly children's eyes were glowing much brighter and casting a beam onto the ground, like a spotlight. The beam followed the tendrils and chased them out of the circle. It was with this bright light I was able to notice that the darkness that invaded my campsite was also all around me. Much darker than the woods where I could see the formations of darkness swirling up nearby trees and covering the ground. Like the entirety of the dark was reaching out for me, but every time it got close, one of the children would cast a light and push it back. Helpless, I watched as the children created a light show to keep the darkness from reaching me. Miniature solar flares shooing away the bleak. Even as the light of my fire was completely snuffed out, they continued their watch and it became clear, if it wasn't for the children, I would have been dead where I stood. Something about them, like a quiet whisper, was comforting to me. I had done my best to respect the woods when I arrived, and I think maybe it saved my life. Hours passed and my feet began aching like I was standing on needles as I thought I would pass out. A beam of light washed over me. A soft and natural light started to cover the soil and started reaching up the trees. I watched the rays from the sun pressure the darkness that was reaching towards me. It retreated with a clearly irritated hiss, much louder than the others. With the vanishing of the darkness, so did the children begin to fade, seemingly all at once. The crack of light swallowed the forest, and where the children once stood, there was a small array of fireflies dancing in the light. They swirled in the air for a moment before returning to the grass around me, vanishing completely. I stood and reflected on the night. I don't know if I believe what I saw was magic. I collected my thoughts and my supplies. I wasn't in a rush or anything, and I wanted to stay, but something told me I had gotten all I needed. My notebook was stuffed to the brim with ideas, and I had been handed what might be the best one yet. Leaving the stone circle felt heavy, like I was stepping out into an ocean, but the feeling leveled out as I made my way out of the woods. Already several people were passing by me, looking for their daily dose of magic. But magic is a trick. What's in those woods was there far before the time of humans. It's primordial. Magic is a blink, and you'll miss it in a moment. A brief and wonderful period of time where anything is possible. Thanks for listening to this creepy story titled The Children of Garland Woods, written by author JoJo. Much love and appreciation to him for letting me read this story. I really appreciate it, and I really enjoyed this one, as I hope you guys did too. I thought it brought a unique twist and interesting supernatural vibe to a creepy woods story. If you enjoyed it, please be sure to hit that like button as it helps me out a ton in the YouTube algorithm. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day on all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story that you would like to submit to be heard in a future video, be sure to send your story in at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that helps keep this channel going. I really appreciate that. If you guys aren't aware, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you find podcasts online. If you want to support the channel more than just hitting that like button and subscribing, be sure to check out the merch store. I've got t-shirts, I've got coffee mugs, I've got hoodies, and I even got Corona masks. So if you're trying to run around Rona in style, be sure to wear one. I'd love to see it. Send in a picture to me. I'd post it on my Instagram. That'll be fun. Anyway, I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.